Amen. Hey, speaking of hard times, how many of you guys ever had a bad day? Raise your hand. All right. Now, the rest of you didn't raise your hand. You're lying. Okay, but I don't have time to preach online right now. We'll deal with that in another study. Okay, but we all have bad days, you know, but you know, sometimes some days are even worse than others. It's like you come to this conclusion before the day is even half over, and you're going like, man, I should never even gotten out of bed. Now, have you ever had one of those days? You almost want to crawl back and start all over again, okay? Well, for those of you who don't even know what that looks like, it looks something like this. Let's take a look at this. For those of you wondering, that is not my daughter working at Walmart. She pushes the cart. She doesn't drive a forklift, okay? But can you imagine? You just go straight to the office and get your pink slip after that one. You know what I'm saying? Those signs that really happen. Isn't that crazy? Oh, that's some serious bad days. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I wish you could start all over. But folks, believe it or not, as bad as all those days are, including all of them even put together, I think I found a day that's worse than that. And it really is coming, folks. The Bible's very clear about that. It's when people who today have unfortunately rejected Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, wait too long, and all of a sudden, bang, they're going to wake up one day, and they're going to discover that millions of people, specifically and only Christians, have disappeared on the planet from the rapture of the church. And that is going to be the ultimate worst day, because the Bible is very clear. You will be thrust into the seven-year tribulation, and that is not a joke. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's going to be a time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again. And it's so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, i.e. kept it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many of you guys would say that's the ultimate bad day? You want to avoid that as you can, and that's the good news. You can. Praise God. God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And he doesn't want people to not only not go to hell, he's not willing that any should perish. You don't have to go to the seven-year tribulation if we're in that generation when the rapture occurs, and it sure is looking that way. I'll tell you what, okay? And so he gives us heads-up signs. He doesn't tell us the exact day nor the hour, because what would we do? We goof off to the very end, wouldn't we, right? But he does give us signs that it's getting close, and that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Signs that the seven-year tribulation are getting close, and the rapture happens prior, so time to get motivated. Certainly if you're a Christian, and if you're not, you better get saved, okay? This is not a game. Now, we've already seen, as you can see there, the first of the three signs that the seven-year tribulation has got to be getting close, and that was the Jewish people and the Antichrist, a 20-week study. Then we saw the second one was modern technology, 16-week study, all on modern technology and things of that nature. And hard on its heels the last six times, of course, is our study, the AI invasion. Okay, and what we've been seeing is the Bible predicted in the book of Daniel some 2,600 years ago as a sign that you're living in the end of times, is you're going to see a massive explosion of information across the planet like never before on a global basis, more than ever in the history of mankind. And it's a good thing we don't see any signs of that. We're immersed in it. In fact, their terms are like information tsunami, information explosion, okay? And the problem is it's not just happening right now, but it's leading to what these secularists, this is their words, not mine. They're saying it's leading to the danger called singularity, where their words, not mine, they believe that AI, artificial intelligence, robots, and machines are going to take over the planet and destroy humanity. Now, the Bible calls it the end of times. They don't call it that. They call it singularity, but it's the same thing. Exactly like God warned about. Unfortunately, people are still running headlong into that, as we've been taking a look at an overview of this AI invasion. And the first thing we looked at is the race for AI. Even though secularists, on top of God, warns about this, They're still trying to formulate it as fast as they can around the plant. Then we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data of AI, the makers of AI. And then the last three times was the future of AI. And what we've been seeing, exactly like Daniel warned about, the future that is coming to mankind, to this whole planet with AI, okay, is not good. It really is threatening man's existence, exactly like God said, and the seculars are warning. It is being set up behind the scenes across the world. Most people have no clue. And remember the term they call it? The new electricity. Just like electricity, when it came on the scene, it didn't go away. It began to permeate everything and take over everything, and now everything relies upon it for its function. Same thing they're saying right now as we sit here is happening with AI. Now, we've already seen the first invasion is in the area of business. And then, of course, if you were here last week, we saw the next one is in finance, kind of a two-bang punch, right? And it has everything we saw with the Mark of the Beast system that was talked about 2,000 years ago. And our finances right now are being impacted by AI in a negative way, and that is personal finances, personal taxes, personal businesses, and personal purchases. You guys remember the IBM video? Walking through the store, just pick up whatever you want and just breeze right on out. Good thing that that was 20 years ago and just a pipe dream. Yeah, if you're here last week, we saw Amazon is pushing that amongst other entities that you can do the same thing. Just breeze right in through the checkout lines. It's all coming together. Every product, every person. If you can just tie into this financial system run by AI, monitored by AI, controlled by AI, then it's going to lead to a life beyond your wildest dreams. No, it's going to lead to the Mark of the Beast system. Okay, and we're going to see that it isn't just local, it's not just personal. And this brings us to the fifth way our finances are being invaded by AI, preparing, I truly believe, for the Mark of the Beast system, warned about 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation by John, and that is the global finances. Okay, and this again is another thing that the Antichrist is going to do in the seven-year tribulation. He's not just going to control your personal finances. He's not just going to control local finances. He's not just going to control the finances of even just one country. If you read the text, I highly recommend it. If you read the text, then you're going to see it's clearly global. He literally controls all the finances on the whole planet. So one more time, let's take a look at that text. Revelation 13, Revelation 13 verses 11 through 17. Is our opening text. And of course, Revelation was written by John. That's right. You biblical scholars. Man, 2 weeks in a row, I feel encouraged as a pastor. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 17. Let's take a look at this text again, but pay attention to the scope of the Mark of the Beast. Okay, and this financial system that he's going to be controlling, it's literally on the whole planet. But let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Here's what he says. Revelation 13, verse 11, speaking of the false prophet who works with the Antichrist or the beast. Here's what he says. I saw another beast coming out of the earth. This is the false prophet. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a what? Dragon. He's inspired by Satan too. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf and made the who? Earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the what? Earth. And he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause how many? All who refused to worship the image to be killed. And he also forced how many? Everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead so that who? No one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. You may be seated if you can. But if you were here last week, we saw once again in this text, the famous text dealing with the Mark of the Beast system, warned about nearly 2,000 years ago. And it clearly tells us that there really is coming a day when all the inhabitants of the earth. Now, that's a phrase that's used in Revelation repeatedly, and it speaks of those who were left behind. Okay, the inhabitants of the earth. We're citizens, the church of heaven. These people are totally different. These are the people that didn't say, they didn't want Jesus, didn't want nothing to do with him. They got left behind the rapture. Now they're an inhabitant of the earth, okay? But he says here, the inhabitants of the earth at that time, they're not just going to be under the authority of the Antichrist, okay? They're going to be under the economy of the Antichrist. He's going to control all the buying and selling. And if you're going to control all the buying and selling, that means you're going to have to control and micromanage the finances, the economies, right? Common sense. But the reason why I'm bringing it up this second time is notice again the scope of him doing this. It was the whole planet. And again, that's why I highlighted several pieces of the text there. It clearly is a global control of all finances. He made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, no one could buy and sell. So you're talking about the whole planet. And so the question is, could that really happen? Could some guy, literally one guy, the Antichrist, with his evil religious cohort, the false prophet, could they really literally micromanage all the planet's finances down to the minute detail, down to every single person, down to every single transaction? Yes. And guess who they're looking at helping them to pull it off for the first time in mankind's history? AI. AI once again to the rescue just in time for the 7-year tribulation. Now, I want to show you how AI is now not just running the local, the personal finances, personal businesses, all that stuff. It's even being looked upon as the panacea for everything dealing with finances around the globe, okay? And the first way is it's running global banks. Most people have no clue about AI. They have no clue how long this has been going on. And they have no clue that it is already being launched and has been launched for years, building this back-end system that I believe is going to be the Mark of the Beast system. But as we saw in our last study in finances, even the previous two studies before that with businesses, AI, not just businesses, but even in finances, has been making inroads as way back as the 80s. Okay, it's been going on for quite some time. In fact, today, it's literally on the verge of taking completely over. Okay, because again, you're dealing with something on a global basis. Again, as we saw last week, no amount of accountants can handle that kind of a global system. So you need something superhuman to pull it off, and that's where AI comes in. In fact, watch this. The use of AI in the banking industry is not only on the rise, but this was back in 2018. They said 22% of North American banks are already using AI, from everything from customer service to employee training. And this is their words, not mine. Quote, with every purchase, how many purchases? Every purchase, transfer, deposit, banks and credit unions are gathering intelligence about our spending habits, tendencies, and frequency use, and AI gets to manage it all. Now, again, you stop and think about that. That's kind of like a Big Brother nightmare waiting to happen. You're going to know everything about me, including what I buy and sell, and AI is going to be running it for you, okay? And in fact, I'm not the only one. One reporter stated this. There is a constant nagging concern on the part of many consumers wondering, quote, is the data that banks and credit unions being used for good? Yeah. Okay. So they kind of know this. They kind of know that we're a little bit squeamish about it. I don't like you knowing every little minute detail about what I'm doing with my finances. So what do? They do what they always do. Propaganda. Right? They're trying to equal our fears that no, don't get all freaked out. Yeah, it might seem kind of Big Brother, but see, if you allow AI to take over the whole banking industry, not just here in the United States, not just your local bank, but around the world, it's going to usher in all kinds of utopian dreams that you can't even dream of. It's amazing. In fact, let me share with you some of the supposed rationale they're using to get us to go along with AI taking over our banking, okay? First of all, they say it's going to improve your customer service. Rather than just having a conversation with a call center on the other side of the world with who knows what language coming out of their mouths. Huh? How many guys had to deal with that? Right? Now, customers will converse with AI chatbots and AI virtual assistants for all their banking needs. Of course, in your language, right? Very, very convenient, right? Then they say, one report predicts that by 2020, chatbots will be responsible for more than 85, that's this year, folks, 85% of customer interactions in the banking industry. So even today, when you're talking to somebody at the bank, it may not be a real person. This is crazy. Notice again, it's not coming. It's already being put into play. Bank of America introduced the AI chatbot called Erica. She can send customers notifications about their bank balance, make money transfers, suggest ways to save money, pay their bills, even answer crucial questions anytime, anywhere, on any device, as this demonstration shows. Who wouldn't want to have AI running your bank account? Watch this.
Meet Erica, your virtual financial assistant, in the Bank of America mobile app, here to help you bank. Erica can help you pay your bills anytime, from almost anywhere. If your debit card goes missing, Erica's got you covered.
I can't find my card.
Oh, it's all good. I got it this time.
And with Erica, you can quickly send money to your friends.
I'll pay you back.
No matter where they bank.
Oh, you while since we've had lunch together.
It hasn't been that long.
Uh-huh.
Need to find a past transaction? Erica makes it easy.
Erica, when was my last expense at the Lime Truck?
Here's what I found. Your last transaction at the Lime Truck was December 15th.
Oh, way too long. No.
Are you serious? Erica, please unlock my debit card.
No problem. Your card is now unlocked and ready to use.
Meet Erica, your virtual financial assistant. Just talk, type, or tap, and Erica will help you with...
Wow. Why don't we just meet Antichristica? He will decide. Just add a couple letters there, and what do you got? Is this crazy? That thing was telling you every. It monitored the whole. Whoa! You can see it. You get sucked into it out of convenience. But where is this headed? But that's not all they say. Hey, listen. These AI chatbots like Erica are always. What's the word there? Always on. Oh boy. So you wake up at 3 in the morning, man, you'll still get answers to your questions and assistance to your problems. Isn't that wonderful? They go on to say this, it'll improve your spending. These same AI systems in the bank also are used for a financial forecasting tool that tells users, listen, when they can actually spend money based on their income, balances, and upcoming obligations. So who's telling you when you can buy and sell? Not coming, folks. It's already being put into play. The AI system also does predictive analytics about your future finances. It helps you make, quote, smart decisions based on your financial picture at the moment. So when they ask a particular purchase, watch this. You're asking AI for permission to buy and sell. Can I buy this today? The AI will give a what? Yes or no answer that will help the user avoid problems like overdrafts, late fees, end of the month shortfalls. So you're getting people conditioned to having an outside entity tell you whether or not you can buy and sell. Right? That's a big issue. They say it's also going to improve advertising because AI is monitoring you. It says it's always on. Well, it's always monitoring your habits. And then that will give them to be able to better advertise and get even more money from you. Plus, watch how fast it is. What once took banks 360,000 hours to analyze data, AI does it in seconds. It's breakneck speed, and that's banks love it. And they can pull out statistics on us and then target advertisers. You know, where are they going to target advertisers? Well, here's a deal. It gives you incredibly detailed reports, targeted marketing like this. For instance, if the AI system will allow banks to discover when a customer has been what? Traveling frequently, let's say to Europe, and you're spending generously on your credit card. So now the bank will utilize this AI information and recommend a new multi-currency card to the customer. So now it's not just tracking you in the United States, it's tracking you where? Around the globe. Interesting. Monitoring everything to do with your finances. Also, supposed customer security, they say, hey, it's going to provide better security using, notice what they're pushing, fingerprint and voice recognition software along with database information. So you're building this system already for people to become 100% around the world, totally dependent on an outside entity to tell you whether or not you could buy and sell. And now we want to begin to incorporate that into a body part. That's what biometrics is, using body parts for authentication. Okay, that's not by chance. And they say, well, see, that's when you could just walk into a bank branch. And AI enabled with facial recognition system, or microchips, will identify that person immediately in just a few seconds. These AI systems will even be able to recognize vocal pitches, inflections, pronunciations, and accents. Quote, no criminals will be escaping this system. That's their words. Have fun. Unfortunately, if you made the biggest mistake of your life and rejected Jesus Christ today and were left behind and you're thrust in the seven-year tribulation, have fun trying to buy and sell. Oh, I'll just put on a disguise. Oh, I'll figure out, I'll do that. Nobody will escape this system that they're building as we sit here in this sanctuary. AI run it all. And they said it's going to decrease crimes. You know, get those bad guys, right? This will instantly spot money laundering, fraud, and even terrorist activity. They'll know every single transaction on the whole planet. And it's going to do it continuously, screening vast amounts of data on customers from where? Around the world, including their transactions, and then compare it to other public data and highlight suspicious activities. The banks will save billions of dollars each year. So you can see how the banks are wanting this. It's saving not millions, but billions of dollars. They say it's going to determine whether or not you can even get a loan, okay? Because it knows you better than you, right? It'll get rid of all risk factors, and you'll get an instant notification whether it says you can buy or sell with that loan you need for that house or car or whatever you were looking for. Okay, it says they'll risk scenarios and look at alternative sources of data. Notice it's tying into everything, not just your finances. It'll look at alternative sources of data such as payment history, rent, utilities, tens of thousands of other transactions, even how you fill out a form. It will know everything about you. Also, banks, they love this because it reduces their, they consider their default to the loan. It's supposed to improve your customer service. You don't have to wait as long. Boy, wouldn't that be great? And that's how they try to get you into it. And then for debts, how are we going to get those bad guys? Watch this. Believe it or not, the FICO score already uses artificial intelligence to build the credit risk models. And those ones that you download, right? Get your, a lot of it's AI, right? It's not people working in an office. These are AI algorithms and programs. They're building credit risk models and helping creditors collect outstanding debts by generating insights that's way too hard for humans to spot, right? You and I, people can fall through the cracks. They can slip. They can get away. You don't have all the relevant information. You can't find them. Where are they at? How can I collect that debt? AI will find you. You ain't going to escape this system. Again, okay? And they say it's going to save you money. According to that, 70% of all financial services already use their services today, but AI, listen to this, will save the banking industry alone more than not $1 million, not $1 billion, $1 trillion by 2030. And they admit that this will not only continually monitor and control all your banking experiences. Listen, it will continually monitor your spending experiences, your financial transactions, wherever you go. Once you agree to this, or it gets mandated, even your local bank opens up the can of worms, and they admit it's going to follow you wherever you go. Watch this.
Well, we have debit cards, credit cards, a mortgage, or rent. It all ties into your overall financial health. But it isn't easy keeping up with all of it, so you know if you're a healthy spender. Mercantile Bank of Michigan launched a new chatbot for its customers. It will answer anything customers ask about their accounts or even spending habits. First, explain what this new chatbot is.
It's the ability to access your finances in one place where it's convenient for you, whether it's a mobile device or a voice-enabled device. You can ask it questions about your spending, your budget. What do I have left in my grocery budget? How much have I spent at Amazon this month? Those type of questions, making your finances easily accessible from wherever you are.
So the key here is this is an app that all of the Mercantile Bank customers can get, but it doesn't just show them what's in their bank account, so to speak.
Right. You have to show the customer the complete financial picture, which means if you have a Chase credit card or you have some other mortgage somewhere else or wherever you're doing your spending, you need that visibility in your complete financial picture. And we, our tool allows us to aggregate all that together.
Now, how does that work then? Because this seems sort of complicated. If you're thinking many people have several different accounts to keep track of, they'll have, say, a department store credit card, then they'll have their car payment, their mortgage. How would you be able to link all of that in? Is it a pretty complicated process to get it set up?
No, it's very simple. The tool allows you to pick your bank, and by entering in your online credentials, that allows the chatbot visibility into what you're spending and what your transactions and balances are wherever that relationship is.
What? So it's not just your bank account. Well, they admit, once you pop into this system, it will be connected to every single financial transaction you make wherever you go. Okay? And so really, what are you getting used to? An AI banking system that is going to dictate to me, not just monitor all my financial transactions, but it's the one that's going to give me permission to buy and sell. Anybody wonder where that's headed? You see exactly where it's headed. It's for common sense, okay? In fact, and of course, it's supposed to help me control my finances. I think it's going to help somebody in the seven-year tribulation control the global finances down to the micromanaged level. That's exactly where it's headed. But that's just that. Let's take a look at another thing. We don't just need banks to store our money to buy and sell. There's something else that we buy and sell with, and that's the stock market. Most people have no clue that the stock market primarily right now is being run by AI. You think it's all those guys and they're the paper and they're running back and forth? That's the bare minimum. Most of the stock market right now is already being run by AI. And this is kind of an interesting thing because, you know, you think Revelation 13, they buy and sell. Sometimes we focus on things, food, items. Well, that's just half the equation. You buy, right? You buy those things. You don't go to the store to sell stuff. But what's interesting about the stock market, what do? You buy and sell. And even that, I'm telling you, is being taken over by AI, okay, on a massive, massive scale. And the reason why they say it is because AI can do, just like everything else, AI can do what mankind can never do. If you're familiar with how the stock market works, if you get involved in that, then it's a lot of work, right? Unless you want to lose a lot of money, you got to do a lot of homework. For instance, in order to make a profit, you have to constantly analyze data every day from a variety of sources. You got to keep track of what's hot, what's selling, what company to invest in, what is projected to grow, what looks like they're about ready to tank, and therefore you got to hurry up and sell it off, and on it goes, right? There's a ton of variables, right? So guess who they're turning to again to run it like never before? And maybe even to prevent a future stock market crash. We can't have that again, can't we? We can't afford that. AI. They're looking at AI to run the whole thing. And here's, again, some of the rationale why we need to allow that to happen. They say it can make trading decisions at speeds greater than humans are capable of. And that's true. It can make millions of trades a day without any human intervention. And that is true. It could use natural language processing to listen, read news reports, broker reports, social media feeds, and gauge sentiment on companies and assign them a score. Man can't do that, not on a global basis. AI can. It can extract information even from live news feeds to assist in investment decisions. It could process hordes of data on the web, correlate them with world events, notice this is global, world events, and determine their impact on assets. Prices. It can mine data, develop consumer profiles, match them with wealthy management profiles that they would most likely want, match you to the right one. It can identify risk events so you can steer clear from bad investments through deep learning and neural networks. And it can identify financial bubbles through the use of social media. Don't invest in that. That's just a quick trend that's going to fall off the edge, right? It can identify all that for you. It can identify influencers, super forecasters. It analyzes Twitter, Bloomberg. Have you noticed it's tied into everything? That's a whole other Big Brother issue, right? But that's what it can do. And it can manage trading equity bond markets in response to all the news data, okay? So that's what they're saying. Man, this thing can do what man can't do. It might even be able, again, to steer off man making mistakes. Oh, they didn't see that bubble coming, so they weren't warning people in time, and we went over the cliff, and AI could save us from ever having another stock market crash and blah, 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 blah. And you're thinking, well, that's a nice idea, but they're not really doing it. Yes, they are. Watch these statistics. This is crazy. This was back in 2017. 2017, Wall Street, okay, AI trading already had their first 100% AI equity trading fund. Okay, it had its own little thing there. Now, the first week of operations, it went up by 1%, and by the next year, it was already up by 20%. So they're not just launching it. When it launches, it takes off, and it does what it says it can do. It can do what man can't do. And they're going, man, this is, who wouldn't want to have this? It's making so much profit. It sees things that man can't see. Woo! And listen to this. Back in 2010, this is how far it was already in the stock market. AI trading in 2010 accounted for 60% to 70% of trading in the U.S. alone. By 2014, this number rose to 75%. And by 2017, J.P. Morgan reported that traditional traders represented only 10% of the trading volume. Flip that around. Who's doing the other 90? AI 2017, right? So it's already there taking over. And of course, who's one of the big ones that they're pushing to have this service for the stock market? IBM Watson is one of the big entities, the AI entity that they've been selling to these guys for a long time, because they say, hey, listen, it continually examines its own performance. It learns from its, quote, mistakes, and it just gets better and better, and who wouldn't want this? Now, you're thinking, well, that's neat for these big corporations, but what about the rest of us? Well, hey, worry no more. They now have them out for you and I. Again, there's an app for everything. They're now pushing for the individual, not just the individual corporation, the individual to let AI control your stock market purchases with these things that they call robo-advisors. Watch this.
Since their launch just a few years ago, so-called robo-advisors have been entrusted with billions of dollars by many different kinds of investors. So what exactly are robo-advisors? They're sophisticated and use advanced algorithms designed to take strategies developed by human investment advisors and share them with everyone. Robo-advisors take many tedious tasks off the hands of investors. In the past, If you wanted to build a diversified portfolio of investments geared towards your time frame and sensitivity to risk, but didn't want to work with a professional advisor, you had to handle the research, pick the investments, and do all the buying and selling yourself. Maintaining your portfolio also meant monitoring it regularly to keep everything on track as the markets changed. You also had to decide whether or when to harvest losses to offset taxable gains elsewhere in your portfolio. This took time, not only time to manage the portfolio, but time to develop investment strategies and expertise. Now, robo-advisors can do this for you. Because they're automated, robo-advisors tend to be cheap and easy to use, making them an attractive option for all kinds of investors, from young people just starting out to more established investors, like retirees looking for help generating income.
Yeah, and who doesn't need that kind of help? But folks, this is a secular promotion for AI robots running your stock market purchases. But did you see in this secular promotion, they even used the words buying and selling. It used to be, it takes so much to buy. Let AI do it all for you. And you go, well, okay, that's kind of cool and kind of creepy, but that's never going to catch on. It's already caught on, right? As we saw before, millennials, Gen Zers down, everybody loves this technology. And not just that, we're even my generation and above. We're even getting used to this, okay, one way or another. Sometimes getting forced into it. Otherwise, you just get left behind, okay? But you're thinking it's never going to catch on. Mm-hmm. It already has. Individualized AI stock market purchases. This is just a sampling of different robo-advisors, AI controlling the stock market individually for the person in Europe. There's just a couple of them out there to choose from. And it's not just in Europe, folks. It's around the whole world. There's so many different versions of this so that everybody can have the benefits of artificial intelligence, not only controlling your banking for buying and selling, but even the stock market for buying and selling. And it's being done on a global basis. Which leads us to the third thing. I'm telling you, folks, just like the tech said, it wasn't local economies, personal, it's global. And AI's running the whole thing. And that is the global economies. Now, the whole world, as we saw before, is in this race for AI. And one of the reasons is because of the financial aspect. Now, listen to this statistic. AI, they said, this is crazy. The whole world sold on this. We've got to have individual countries around the world, we've got to have AI running the whole system. Why? Watch what they say is going to happen. AI will add 15.7, not million, not billion, $15.7 trillion to the world economy by 2030. Making it the biggest commercial opportunity in today's fast-changing economy. So who and what country wouldn't want to do that, right? So you can see why they're getting sucked into it, okay? And they say it's going to be a huge part of, quote, global economic output, okay? Now, the problem we saw with AI taking over all kinds of industries, not just the finances, but the businesses, we saw that there's a side effect. We saw that, guess what? AI replaces what? Humans. Which means there's going to be a lot of people. Now, these corporations and the banks and the countries are going to save trillions of dollars. But what about the average Joe who needs an income, who just lost his job? As we saw, let me give you some of those statistics again. 800 million jobs are expected to be lost by 2030 due to the automation by AI, which is, quote, one-fifth of the global workforce. Wait a second, you can't have that, because what do you need to buy and sell? You don't just need a bank account. You need a what? You need an income. But you got half the planet now unemployed. So how are you going to tie them into your Mark of the Beast system if they ain't got no cash flow coming in? You need to guarantee that everybody can have a universal basic income. Have you heard that? You're going to hear about it today. It's been out there for a while, folks. I'm telling you, this has everything to do with conditioning us to have somebody control all aspects of buying and selling, including our income. Now, a universal basic income is the idea, listen, quote, where the governments around the world give to all citizens, regardless of whether they're rich or poor, unemployed, employed, a guaranteed income. A basic income, a universal basic income. You think, well, that's crazy. Well, it's actually been around for a while. And recently, because of this AI invasion, and they're saying, man, we just got to provide this universal basic income because half the planet's going to be out of work. It's being pushed by the likes of, and I quote, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and Bill Gates, everybody's favorite trio. Yeah. And they say that as the world gets more and more automated, people are going to lose their jobs and, quote, governments around the world need to give every citizen a guaranteed income. What? That's crazy. But again, folks, it isn't just coming. It's already being put into play, right? Let's take a look at what a universal basic income is and how that's supposed to keep you buying and selling. Let's take a look at that.
Universal basic income is pretty much what the name suggests, an income for everyone in the form of a cash transfer, no strings attached. Finland is among a handful of countries experimenting with universal basic income as a way to address unemployment in the country. A key feature of the universal basic income is that you can spend the money however you like. The idea of handing out cash to every citizen isn't new. Philosopher Thomas Paine proposed the idea of payments to every person all the way back in 1797. Martin Luther King Jr. fought for a guaranteed income in the 1960s, and even free market champion Milton Friedman endorsed the negative income tax, similar to basic income, as a way to reduce welfare costs and bureaucracy. But lately, tech titans in Silicon Valley, like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, are some of the biggest advocates of the idea. They argue a universal basic income could provide a cushion to an estimated millions of people who could lose their jobs if they're replaced by automation or by robots. Hello.
I do think there's a pretty good chance we end up with a universal basic income or something like that due to automation. I'm not sure what else one would do. This, but that's kind of, I think, what would happen. We got to figure out how we integrate with a world in the future with advanced AI.
It's clear robots are already changing the future of work. Some in Silicon Valley say universal basic income could give workers an opportunity to retrain for today's workforce.
Action!
Other advocates say a basic income would alleviate poverty and help address growing income inequality across the developed world. The idea has support across the political spectrum, from libertarians who say it would simplify the existing social welfare state, to socialists who want to redistribute wealth toward the lower and middle class. Finland isn't the only country experimenting with universal basic income. Other trials are underway in the Netherlands, Kenya, Canada, and the United States.
What? United States? Really? Folks, you need to, if you don't realize this, then you need to get your head out of the sand. Because this is what's being promoted in our secular school system, i.e. socialism, i.e. communism, right? And we have generations of people who have this entitlement mentality, and what are they crying out for? The government owes me. So there's generations that have been prepared to, yeah, universal basic income. But again, what was their deal? It's the old adage, you create a crisis, you get to manage the outcome. You unleash AI on the planet, even though it's extremely dangerous, and even your own secular community says it's going to spell the end of mankind, let alone listen to God's warnings 2,600 years ago in the book of Daniel. But you unleash it, and you know it's going to wipe out half the planet's jobs. Well, that's called create the crisis. Then you get to what? You get to manage the outcome. And then that becomes your perfect excuse to get people used to relying on some outside entity for an income to keep buying and selling on a global basis. And you might think, well, listen, that's just never going to happen here in America. I know we got this thing going on in our school and system, but there's still too many of us patriotic Americans here, man, that we know that that's what a part of being American is. You need to be responsible. You need to get your own job. You need to be responsible with your finances. You need for your future and things of that nature. I mean, that's just the American way. Well, a lot of people are saying that, believe it or not, to push us over the edge, even as Americans, even us non-socialists or non-communists, is the stimulus checks of COVID-19. They're saying, you know what? That gets people warmed up to what? I need the government to give me a paycheck in order to keep buying and selling. I'm not the only one coming to that conclusion. Watch what this guy says.
Today, I want to share with you something that Congress is proposing because there's a few ideas out on the floor that look and sound very similar to a concept called UBI. And if you're not familiar with what that is, it stands for Universal Basic Income. Now, the CARES Act has given people a one-time cash payment of up to $1,200. Can you imagine what Andrew Yang must be feeling like right now?
Freedom dividends.
But a lot of people are still waiting for their stimulus checks, with most agreeing that it's simply not enough money to keep their life going. So in order to continue stimulating, Congress will be voting today once more on another bill that proposes an additional $300 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program. So it looks like this one will be passed, and the idea of UBI, or Universal Basic Income, is not that far-fetched. In fact, right now, there's a few plans to add to a potentially phase four of the stimulus package plan, and one of them involves forgiving all rent and mortgage payments. Yeah, don't even worry about paying your mortgage or your rent. We got this. The whole stimulus narrative is bringing us closer and closer to what seems like the inevitable solution, where every American is going to be entitled to a basic standard form of income, regardless of whether or not they have a job. Believe it or not, the Pope himself, Pope Francis, has even called for universal basic income.
What? And who's he? He's a global religious figure on the planet. I call him Mr. False Prophet Wannabe. Are you preparing for your new relationship with the cohort called the Antichrist? Isn't this weird? Does anybody besides me stir all this together where it's headed? It's all preparatory. But you mean to tell me that even this virus that's going on, there's so many things going on with it that has to do with Bible prophecy, folks. But even the stimulus checks are warming us up to the idea of what, in order for me to continue to have income, in order to continue to buy and sell, I need to have some sort of a universal payment system. And folks, that really is what it's doing. But there's one last thing to do if you're going to pull off truly on a global basis the Mark of the Beast system. And you're almost there. And that is global transactions, right? See, the last piece of this puzzle is, okay, so you're controlling, as we saw the last 2 weeks, you're controlling all the personal taxes, the personal finances, the personal businesses, the personal transactions. Now you're controlling the bank accounts. Now you're controlling the stock market. Now it's on a global basis. Now it's even promoting a universal basic income to make sure that everybody can live in this new economic global system to buy and sell, with AI running the whole thing. But wait a second. How are you going to tie it down to the individual? Because again, it's not just global. It's global micromanaging every person, small and great, free and slave, rich and poor. Every single person on the planet is going to have all their purchases transformed. So how are you going to tie all that together? You got the system in place. AI's running it. But how are you going to do that? Well, you are going to, first of all, have to switch to a cashless society. Good thing that's not being promoted with this virus. Right? And good thing, even in this second stimulus package, what are they saying? Well, we learned our lesson with that first one. We can't do it the old-fashioned with the checks. They're still waiting for them. So let's do the digital version. That's cashless. As we saw in our market, the modern technology study for 16 weeks, we saw that we're basically already a cashless society. I hardly ever use cash. Let's just be honest. Right? Oh, no, Pastor Billy, I use my ATM card. That's the mark of the beast. Oh. No, let me clarify that. How many times do you hear people say that? No, it's not. No, I believe it's technology, cashless transactions leading up to the mark of the beast. But a born-again Christian will never have to worry about the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast is not implemented until in the seven-year tribulation and we leave prior. You got that? But the point is, we do see the technology leading up to that. Okay? So let me just clarify that. But they're pushing a cashless society. Okay, so that it can be controlled. And also, cashless society not only allows you to control it because it's all digital and AI can run the whole thing, but it also solves the currency issue. Right now, we got different currencies. And do you go over to Europe and they don't accept American dollars. I learned that one the hard way. Okay, and then vice versa. And like, so we need a cashless society. We need a digital currency. Now, I could spend a whole study on this one, but guess what they happen to be pushing at the same time? Not just a cashless society, but a new form of electronic currency. It's called cryptocurrency. Are you familiar with that? Cryptocurrency, you may not be familiar with that term, but you're typically familiar with this one, Bitcoin. Have you heard of Bitcoin? Bitcoin is a type of cryptocurrency. You're thinking, well, okay, so it's a new electronic form of currency. No, the reason why they really love this thing is it's based on what's called blockchain technology, and watch what this thing will do. If you use this cryptocurrency as your universal currency, it allows you to not just buy and sell. Watch this. It will record every single financial transaction on a global basis anywhere in the world, store it in a huge giant ledger that not only records the initial transaction, but the whole history of that coin, electronic coin, and every single transaction it will ever make in the future. Wow. Talk about micromanaging purchases, okay? But let's take a look at just a quick synopsis. So what is cryptocurrency? What will that allow these guys to do? Let's take a look at that.
When we buy or sell things, the payment is usually processed by a bank or credit card company. Problem number one, the companies often take a cut of the transaction. Two, we have to trust these companies to protect our sensitive data from hackers. Three, most international payments take a long time and are expensive. To solve these problems, we could use a special currency that is secure and based on the science of cryptography, which is a way of protecting information using mathematics. This special type of currency is called a cryptocurrency and only exists in computer networks. When you send someone this special currency, the money goes directly to them, removing the middleman. And at the same time, the transaction is broadcast to the entire network and recorded in a permanent way, which means it's almost impossible to fool the system. Costs of making payments are lower, transactions are faster, especially across countries, and even those people around the globe who don't have bank accounts can buy or sell goods and participate in the global economy. This new technology, or some variation of it, can completely change the way we sell, buy, save, invest, and pay our bills. And who knows, this could be the next step in the evolution of money.
Yeah, understatement of the year. Folks, whether you realize or not, this is the new currency that's being promoted just in time, I believe, for the Mark of the Beast system in the seven-year tribulation. But let me give you a recap. What does this new digital electronic currency do? It's the quote, I'm going to recap. Listen, she said, a new universal payment system, regardless of country, regardless of company, organization, location, ethnic group, anybody can use it and do what? Quote, buy and sell, save, invest, pay bills, every aspect of your finances. If you just switch to this. Oh, and by the way, you can't get germs. I wish I could laugh at that. But that's some of the rationale even today, folks, to push us over the edge and go along with this. It's a scare tactic. People are more apt, they know this, to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear than in a time of peace. So you have to have constant fear to get people, even the Americans, to bow a knee before their solutions. And it's all set up, folks. Okay, is what's going on. Okay, I smell a rat personally, okay? Now, as an interesting side note, need to understand, if those of you have ever actually done some history into, you know, some of you, obviously, by your countenance, as I can tell, this is the first time you ever heard of cryptocurrency, maybe even Bitcoin. Some of you may have heard of Bitcoin, maybe even took a step further and you did a little research on yourself. And as the story goes, I kid you not, it's kind of a conspiracy thing going on there, but Bitcoin, digital currency, cryptocurrency, was supposedly invented by an anonymous programmer, a guy named Satoshi Nakamoto, right? That's what they say. This is where it came from. This mysterious figure just arose out of nowhere, and he launched this new currency on the internet. I kid you not. And back in 2008, that's when this guy, and it's just all for the benefit of mankind. Really? Well, some in the cryptocurrency, I couldn't believe I found this gem of an interview. They say, are you kidding me? That's a made-up baloney story. They believe that the reason why it's so complex and no human can come up with this cryptocurrency, that it was a system invented by AI so that AI can control the global economy. Watch this.
What we want to discuss is artificial intelligence, cryptocurrency, an overview of what is the blockchain, why is it so important to cryptocurrency and artificial intelligence. You're the first person to tell me you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anyone before our conversation earlier today link artificial intelligence to cryptocurrency.
That's because they don't understand transactional systems. Okay, so for an AI...
Did you come up with this, or have you heard anybody else talk about this link?
No, this, I could show you the cryptocurrency that the AI made to make this all happen. It's out in public on GitHub. I was the 10th person in the world to fork it.
GitHub is a website where people share open source code.
It's where all the code in the world is stored, pretty much.
Wow.
So, and GitHub was funded by the Kushner Investment Group.
Really?
And then the original creators of Bitcoin are kept anonymous, so people don't find out who made it. So if you do have a problem, you can't
call them.
You can't call them.
So let's get to how cryptocurrency is tied to artificial intelligence.
Okay, so blockchain or cryptocurrency is a transaction database that you can't delete from. Okay.
Well, I mean, considering we don't know who this Takashi Nakamoto is, or if
so, the delete functionality quite possibly is one of the options for the backdoor in Bitcoin, because it's a database that doesn't have delete. So if there is a super admin somewhere that could delete transactions and remove money, that would be a pretty.
I mean, that sounds like a very good reason for people not to trust it.
Like, we need to know who wrote Bitcoin. We need to see his face.
Well,
we need to know where he went to school. We need to have a trust basis with the person who built the system that might be running running our future economy. That's the first step. So he's some secret programmer in the Bitcoin community that all the elites know.
How does that not leak out? Maybe it's a...
That's the whole point. Maybe it's an AI.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that things that you were saying to me earlier led me to believe that you might feel like Bitcoin was actually created by artificial intelligence.
And here's why.
Say that again, because I stepped on it. You say it was.
I believe it was.
Bitcoin was created by
artificial intelligence for artificial intelligence, and then was modified by human beings. The technology, I've not been able to find a single person in the public space of computing, whether it be at Hanson Robotics building the Sophia AI, or it be Peter Thiel at Palantir with all of his super nerds, or it be any person who graduated from Stanford in the last 20 years, I've literally only found maybe two people in the entire world that have the skill to write Bitcoin.
So the AI singularity occurs, and this AI will control financial resources.
Yeah.
The AI economy has arrived. Wow. I just don't think too many people even know about this, Quinn.
They don't. It's the most important thing in the world, and no one knows about it, and I was the 10th person to click the fork button.
And now you're the 11th. Isn't this crazy? Not just AI running the system. Very possibly AI could have invented this electronic currency needed for AI to literally micromanage the planet for somebody, I wonder who, in the 7-year tribulation. But again, so you got AI controlling the whole system. You got everything converted into a digital currency, but you got one more hurdle. You got to somehow tie that specifically to the individual. How in the world are you going to do that? Well, how about you figure out a way where you take the digital currency and you digitize that to the person via a body part? Do you see the easy slide? And again, if you were here last week, 20 years ago, that's what IBM was promoting, weren't they? And we saw that it's even being implemented today, where your transactions are now digitized with your cell phone with the microchip in it. But what's the problem? You could lose your cell phone. So how about you just skip that step, and then everybody gets a digital, some sort of an implant that ties them into the system that AI is controlling. And then that way, AI could literally micromanage the planet for the first time in mankind's history. Now, what's creepy is that's not just a convenient scenario to prove my point in this sermon. It's actually what the bankers who want to build this global government have said for years they want to do. They've built a system now that's running the global financial system. Now the last step is to microchip people so they can access this system. It will control all their finances. Also, oh, guess what? If you don't do what they say, they shut your chip off. Watch this.
The Federal Reserve System, the bankers, have pretty much taken control of our government. It doesn't matter Republican and Democrat anymore, because they're both the same. Neither one of them are talking about the big issues that face Americans, right? So I had a friend, Nick Rockefeller, okay, who's one of the Rockefeller family, and he When I was running for governor in Nevada, he came to me, introduced himself to me through an attorney, and we became friends. We started talking about things, and I learned an awful lot from Mr. Rockefeller. And one of the things that we used to talk about was the ultimate plan of the banking industry, what they wanted to accomplish. And the goals of the banking industry, not just the Federal Reserve System, but the private banks in Germany and England, all over Italy, all over the world, they all work together. They're all central banks, and they're all part of the Communist Manifesto. You know, central banking is one of the major planks of the Communist Manifesto. We talk about America being a capitalistic country, but yet at the same time we have a central bank that plans everything for us, right? And the graduated income tax is another plank of the Communist Manifesto, right? So right there you have two major planks of the Communist Manifesto that have been brought in because of the Federal Reserve System, okay? So the ultimate goal that these people have in mind is the goal to create a one-world government run by the banking industry, run by the bankers, and they're doing it in sections. The European currency, the euro, and the European Constitution is one part of it. Now they're trying to do it in America with the North American Union, right? And they want to create a new currency called the Amero, right? And the whole agenda is to create a one-world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. And this is getting me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. If they say you owe us this much money in taxes, they just deduct it out of your chip digitally.
Total control.
And if you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip. And you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
Just in time for the seven-year tribulation. In 2,000 years ago, it must have seemed like science fiction to the Apostle John. Right, you go back to that text, Revelation 13, 16, 17, and he forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Man, if only we could see some telltale signs that system's being put into... We don't have to wonder anymore. And again, it's on a global basis. What prevented it from fully being implemented, I'm convinced, before... is because it's such a global micromanaged system of every financial transactions, you can't hire enough people to do it. But AI has just come on the scene, and AI has the superhuman capabilities to pull it off, and AI is being pushed into the system as we sit here. I don't think it's by chance. What it really means is we need to run to the hills, freak out, and cry. No, you need to read your Bible. When these things begin to take place, what does he say? Man, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Hey, let's go ahead and stand up. We haven't done this in a while. This is our exciting adventure. You see all this stuff in the news. You see the push for the cashless society. You see for the AI invasion taking over. Hey, every day, what do? Do what this verse says. Do this. That's rapture practice. You may be seated. That's what's going on there, folks. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it's getting close. That's good news, man. Why are we freaking out? We should be excited, right? These are the events prophesied 2,600 years ago. It's happening, right? Last time I checked, going to be with Jesus is way better than here, right? And we get to come back with him at the end of the seven-year tribulation. We get to be a part of the millennial kingdom. Bobby gets to have that pet alligator. Dude, I can't wait. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says in the millennial kingdom, Isaiah 11 and other passages talk about not just peace with nature, but longevity of life and all that kind of stuff comes back. Basically, the planet goes back to Garden of Eden-like conditions. If you know what happened with the Garden of Eden, the atmosphere, everything was so lush. There was everything was giant. Remember back in those days? So I'm excited about getting my wiener dogs there because no longer they're going to be this size, and I'm going to have to deal with that emotional trauma of being made fun of, but I'm not bitter about it, John. My wiener dog's going to be the size of a lion. Folks, we laugh about it, but that's our future. And you know when that future happens? You know when it's put into play? at the rapture. And nobody can take it away. Isn't that awesome? God doesn't tell us the exact day or the hour because we goof off until the very end. But he gives us indicators it's getting close. And how many indicators does he have to give us before we wake up and realize, hey, Christian, come on. Get your mind off this goofball virus. Get your mind off the economy. Get your mind off this whole mask debate. Get your mind on Jesus Christ. He's coming back to get us. And it's going to be awesome. Now, we have a mandate to share that wonderful news with the people around us. Let's be responsible and tell as many people there is a way out. And they can have that same future as well through Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court,
The gavel's been passed. The judges said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty. You even admit you're guilty. And for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.